I hope you come for a blessing. I've already been blessed in being here, and I hope you have. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to stand with me and turn to Mark chapter 15. Now, this week we are looking at a strange character in the Word of God. His name is Barabbas, and we're looking at him. We'll have 5 messages regard to him, and there are many more, but we're only going to have time to have 5 of them. But we find tonight our message will be the marvel of God's redemption. Will you stand in respect to the Word of God? Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight we ask again, sanctify this endeavor and make it acceptable in thy sight. We pray again, Lord, give listening ears, attentive minds, and an open heart. And then, O God, we ask thee, empower thy word like never before, and speak to every one of us that are here tonight. Let us know our needs. Let us know where we stand before thee. And we ask thee again, O our God, help us. Help us to be better servants of thine, those of us that know thee. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room tonight that doesn't know thee, and we believe there always are there when thy people meet. But, O our God, we just pray, finger on these hearts and move upon them. And Lord, bring them down the valley of conviction and raise them up in salvation even before this night finished to a close. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been studying the book of Mark, and we've come to a strange character with regard to Barabbas. And tonight we're going to look again at the man Barabbas and see in him a classic example of how God saved a sinner. If there's one thing we need to be remember, it is this. Our religious experience with Lord the God of heaven has to correspond with that which is found in the Word of God, or our experience is wrong. People today come along and say, well, when I got saved, I walked up and down like I was on cloud 9. That's not salvation. That's a trick of the devil. Others have said, well, something else to me. I felt like everybody around me loved me. That also is another trick. I'll tell you right now, beloved, when God saves a sinner, it's a revelation of Christ to the individual by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And no other way. And we find today, people are telling me, well, I got this way and I got this way, so on and so forth. And I'll tell you right now, our experience with God has to correspond with that which is set forth in this Word, or our experience is wrong. God's Word is never wrong. And so tonight, we're going to look at Barabbas. We see in him a classic example, or the marvel, of God's redemption. Now, I want you to notice 3 things that stand out tonight in our lesson. First of all, the necessity of Holy Spirit conviction. Secondly, Barabbas, an example of Holy Spirit conviction. And thirdly, the revelation of Christ in redemption. And then we find we have a practical lesson also. Now, I want you to listen carefully like you've never listened before. First of all, I want to tell you right now, there's 3 things wrong with our modern evangelists. Now, what is it? Number one, there's no Holy Spirit conviction. And number 2, they have never heard the voice of the Son of God. And then number 3, there's no revelation of Christ to the individual. You ask an individual today, I did last night. I said, are you saved? Well, I'm a Baptist preacher. That doesn't tell me anything. I was a Baptist preacher too, and I wasn't saved until God saved me. But we find very clearly, always remember one thing. Our salvation experience has to correspond with that which is found in the Word of God. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been under Holy Spirit conviction? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not, I want you to listen like you've never before. Now, why? Because, number one, there's the necessity of Holy Spirit conviction. There's no salvation apart from God the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles now. I'm going to show you a couple of passages of Scripture. First of all, go back with me to John chapter 6 and look at me at verses 44 and 45. And we find in John chapter 6 and verse 44, the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Listen to the Word of God and follow along if you will. We find that Jews are arguing with the Lord Jesus Christ, as a lot of people do. And he said in verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now hold your seats, I gave you the truth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all involved in the quickening or making alive of the individual. And we find it's the purpose of the Holy Spirit to do what? To bring and find those that the Lord God of heaven has determined to be saved. And we find very clearly there's no salvation apart from the Holy Spirit, because the Lord Jesus Christ preached that while he was here. Now go back again. John chapter 6. Go back with me to 6. Listen to what it says. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now what do you have here? The Lord Jesus Christ is bringing out very clearly the necessity of Holy Spirit conviction. There's no salvation apart from Holy Spirit conviction. The Lord Jesus preached that while he was here on earth. All right, then take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to show you a great individual in the Bible who experienced it. And in Acts chapter 9, you have the story of the Apostle Paul. And I want you to notice, Paul experienced it, and he preached it. Now look at what happened to him in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter unto the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now hold your seat. The vast majority of the preachers today tell us that the Apostle Paul got converted on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul did not get converted on the road to Damascus. He was awakened by God the Holy Spirit. As that light shined upon him, it was God that spoke to him. And I'll tell you right now, he heard the voice of God. And every individual, whoever gets saved, before we get saved, we hear the voice of God. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that causes us to hear the voice of God. And that brings out the necessity of Holy Spirit conviction. The Apostle Paul experienced it, and then also he preached it. Let me prove again. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and look at me at verse 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul is preaching here to the church at Corinth, and he said unto them these words. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Well, I'm reading verse 12. And we, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by or through the Holy Ghost. Now let me stop right here. Are you saved here tonight? Have you been under Holy Spirit conviction? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not, you don't know what I'm talking about, and I want you to listen like never before. Now, why do I tell you this? Because Holy Spirit conviction today is unknown and unexperienced by the vast majority at this present hour. I ask you very kindly, examine your own salvation experience. There came a time in your life when you heard the voice of God speaking to you. It wasn't an audible voice. It was an inner voice. It came to the deepest recesses of your soul. And you knew, and you knew that you knew it, that God himself was speaking to you. You didn't know if he was talking to anybody else or not, but you knew that he was speaking to you. And the same thing happened to you as happened to the Apostle Paul. We became astonished and trembling before God. And I'll tell you right now, God didn't come to the individual and say, I wish you'd let me save you. No, sir. The Spirit of God moved upon the individual suddenly, absolutely, positively, indelibly. And I'll tell you right now, that when the voice of God came to that individual, God knocked that individual off their horse of rebellion and put him down in the dust and ashes of repentance. Have you ever been there? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not, you don't know what I'm talking about. And I want you to listen like never before, because here is the necessity of Holy Spirit conviction. There's no salvation apart from conviction of by God, the Holy Spirit. And we find also, now let's just say, what are you talking about? Well, the examples of conviction are few and far between. Now go back with me and I'm going to show you what's going to happen. Matthew chapter 7. Look at me at verses 21 down through verse 23. And in Matthew chapter 7, and beginning at verse 21 down through verse 23, we find this is what's going to happen someday before the Lord God of heaven. The book of Matthew chapter 7, and we find again verse 21 and down through verse 23. And it says very clearly, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now let me give you something, if I may. When we get to heaven, there's going to be four wonders. The first wonder is that we're going to see the Lord Jesus. The second wonder is that we're there. The third wonder is this. There's going to be some there that we didn't think would ever make it. And fourthly, there's going to be some missing that we thought while we're here on this earth, that for sure they would make it. Because I want to tell you right now, Satan doesn't care how religious an individual is as long as they miss Holy Spirit conviction and the revelation of Christ to the human heart. Now, why did I tell you all this? Because Barabbas is a clear-cut example of God's holy, of the Holy Spirit conviction. Now go back to our text, if you will, or Mark chapter 15 and verse 7. And look in verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, and had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Now the word insurrection means rebellion. And it means a rebellion against the government. And we find very clearly, now notice. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Now let's go back, if we may. Here we find Barabbas is an example of Holy Spirit conviction. In Holy Spirit conviction, this is what takes place. There's a selection of the person. There's a selection of the person. And that selection comes by grace. Now, a lot of people, they have the idea where, you know, God just wants to save you, but you got to let him do it. That's not so. When God dealt with Barabbas, he didn't ask Barabbas, do you want to be saved? Barabbas was put in prison, and we find he's a picture that I brought out last night, a good classic example of a sinner without Christ. And I'll tell you right now, God selected him to be saved. And God knows every individual that's ever going to be converted, because he has selected that individual. We don't, but God does. And so therefore, we need to recognize one thing. We preach, whosoever will may come. And how true that still is, and it's still absolutely so at this present hour. Now, Barabbas is an example of Holy Spirit conviction. First of all, there's a selection of the individual, and it comes by grace. God didn't have to pick out Barabbas. God didn't have to pick out you or me. But aren't you glad that he did? And the reason he did is because he is a God of all grace. And the Lord delights to save sinners. And the Lord God of heaven knows exactly who's going to be saved, when they're going to be saved, where they're going to be saved, and how they're going to be saved. And God knows all about it. And people today don't seem to understand that, whatever. Here was Barabbas. What was his category, all right? In verse 7, there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had committed murder in the insurrection, and we find what happened, all right? Number one, this old boy was in prison. He was in jail. And when he was in jail, he was manacled by chains. Now, why do I tell you this? Because that's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. A sinner today without God is in chains. They are held by the chains of God's law. And the law of God still says, and is still so, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we find what happens, Christ has come to save us. And when he does, the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, but before we get saved, we are bound in sin and we are shackled by the chains of the law. Now, the law never saves a person. The law condemns the person, and the law will not condemn the individual until, first of all, God the Holy Spirit selects that person and chooses that individual and says, and they said very clearly, I'm going to deal with that person. And we find it comes subtly, mysteriously, positively, but absolutely. Nobody escapes it. And if an individual doesn't know anything about Holy Spirit conviction, you can rest assured of one thing, they've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. All we have today is make a simple assent to a given truth. They take the Romans road and they say, do you believe this? Oh yeah. Then you're saved. It doesn't work that way. Salvation is the revelation of Christ to the individual through the word of God by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Now Barabbas is a classic example, and we find, first of all, there was a selection by him of the Lord God of heaven. Secondly, we find also there was a sanctification or the setting apart of the person from the rest of mankind. Now how does it happen? Alright, the physical picture is here. Barabbas had been arrested. And when God sets out to save a sinner, the Holy Spirit of God arrests that individual. You ever been arrested for speeding? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. Alright, what happens? When you're going along and you're speeding over the speed limit, and all of a sudden, you look behind you, or you may hear a siren, and you look in your rearview mirror, and you see those blue lights flashing, and you pull over to the side, and I tell you right now, that officer is arresting you. He's stopping you, and I'll tell you right now, it arouses you, doesn't it? In salvation, the Lord God of heaven does the same thing. He arrests the individual. And how does he do it? We find very clearly he does it by the law. Now you say, what are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to Romans chapter 7 and look at me. In the book of Romans chapter 7, and we find verses 9 and 10, these truths. And this is example. This is an example for every one of us until God awakens us. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 9, we read these words. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now what were you talking about? We find the Holy Spirit of God arrests the individual by the law of God. Alright, now turn to the book of Galatians. Chapter 3, if you will, and let me show you again something, if you will. Here's the purpose of the law of God with regard to the salvation of the sinner. In Galatians chapter 3, and we find beginning at verse 22, these words. Listen to it. All right, and we find in these words, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now notice these words. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up, unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, or pedagogue, or teacher, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now here's the purpose of the law. What does it do? And number one, it arrests the sinner. It arrests him. God takes the law and applies the spirituality of it to the individual as he awakens that person by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you right now, he shuts up that individual under the law, as Barabbas was shut up in prison by the Roman government. Barabbas couldn't get out. The individual can't get out from under the condemnation of the law, because that's what the Holy Spirit of God does. He not only arrests him by the law, he shuts up the person in prison, and then he condemns the individual to death. Now when Barabbas was in prison, and I'll tell you right now, when he was brought before the governor Pilate, Barabbas fully expected to be crucified. And you let that soak in. When God the Holy Spirit deals with an individual, God the Holy Spirit causes that individual to see very clearly that the Lord God of heaven is his personal judge. And the judge of the universe, who is the Lord God of heaven, is against that individual. And we are under his condemnation. Now people might come along and say, well, I try to keep the law. I try to keep it. Well, look at, again, if you will, go back to Galatians chapter 3 and look at me at verse 10 and listen to what it says. People have said, well, I'm trying to keep the law. That doesn't do a bit of good, because this is what it says. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do that. I was preaching along this line a few weeks ago. And I was down in a church in Louisiana. And so I asked him point blank. I said, If there's anybody in this room that has never told a lie, would you raise your hand? Nobody could. I said, is there anybody in this room that ever dishonored your, dishonored your mother and father by speaking back to them? Raise your hand. Nobody could. I said, you know what you've done? I said, you testified before God and man that you are a lawbreaker. But someone might say, well, what does that mean? Well, turn to the book of James, if you will, chapter 2, and look at me at verse 10, and see what it says if we break one of the Ten Commandments. And we see in James chapter 2 and verse 10, the book of James brings this out, and he says to us these words. Listen to it. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now let that soak in. Every one of us here tonight are guilty of breaking all of the Ten Commandments. You may have never physically committed adultery, but I dare say everybody here has committed spiritual adultery. You may have never physically stolen, but every one of us have, or we steal time away from God. And we find, all right, there may be somebody here that says, I've never killed anybody. Oh, yes, we have. Beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a decree of murder against every sinner for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law says, thou shalt not kill. All right? Every one of us here are guilty of breaking every one of the Ten Commandments. And so if anybody tries to keep the law, they're wasting their time, because whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point shall be guilty of all. All right? Now hold your shape. People don't know that until God arrests us. And God arrests us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Holy Spirit conviction is all about. It arrests the individual. Then we find also it shuts up that person in prison. We're under the condemnation of the law. We can't get out. We can pray and we can preach and we can cry and everything like that. I'll tell you right now, we're in the same category that Barabbas was in. He was shut up in that prison. He was under the death sentence of the Roman government. And I'll tell you right now, for him to get out, there had to be a supernatural deliverance. And the same thing is true spiritually. Has the Lord Jesus Christ supernaturally delivered you? If he has, you know that he has. There's no question about it. And I'll tell you right now, as I've said before, it's the greatest thing can happen to you if and when it does. Now let's look again. We find also the third thing. We find not only is there the sanctification or the setting apart of the individual, because when God does that, all right, people, as they come, they see what's going on, because I'll tell you right now, when that takes place, there's no joy in that person's life. And they go around and they begin to cry, and first thing you know, people are saying, what's wrong with you? Well, God's dealing with me. Oh, you're getting religious, are you? No! God's dealing with me. He's showing me who I am, he's showing me what I am, and he's showing me the judgment that I'm under. And I'll tell you right now, when that takes place, the individual isn't cocky. The individual isn't self-sufficient. The individual isn't independent. No, sir. That individual becomes a broken-hearted individual before the Lord God of heaven. And our problem today is this. There's been little or no Holy Spirit conviction in the vast majority of our professions of faith at this hour. Now, the third thing God does was this. He not only arrests the person by the law, he shuts up the individual in prison, he condemns the person to death, and then he reveals to the individual his helplessness. I've had people tell me over and over again, oh, it's so easy to believe. Let me tell you something. A sinner under Holy Spirit conviction cannot believe. He tried, because it's a fulfillment of Galatians 3 before salvation came, or what is it? We find we were before Christ came, and I'm going to read it to you. It's in Galatians chapter 3, go back to it if you will, and I want to show you what it means, because I don't want to misquote that, because it's so important. But in Galatians chapter 3, we find beginning in verse 22, with these words, and listen to it if you will. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now look at these words. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Are you listening? You can't get saved any time you want to. You get saved in God's time. When God doesn't deal with the individual, I've had people say, oh, you know, I'm waiting for my husband, and we're both going to get saved at the same time. Caw-caw. Salvation is a personal experience between that individual and Christ, and nobody else is invited or involved in it. And we find when they talk like that, it tells me very clearly they don't know anything about Holy Spirit conviction. But I want to tell you, this is what the Holy Spirit does. We find He separates the individual, arrests the individual, shuts up the person in prison, condemns the individual to death, reveals to the individual his helplessness, and then He does also, He brings that individual to the bar of justice. Before the individual understands and experiences the love of God, that individual is going to experience and understand a little bit of the wrath of God. And don't ever get away from that. People say, oh, God's a God of love. He is. But He's also a God of wrath. And before God saves the sinner, He shows that sinner his need. And He shuts that individual up under the condemnation in the prison house, in the prison house of the condemned. And He shows that individual how helpless he is. And I'm going to tell you something else. He brings that individual to the bar of justice. Now, hold your seat. Can you find this in Barabbas? I can. So go back to our text, if you will. Verse 7. And we find very clearly, notice. We find that what did they do? They brought Barabbas up and stood him in front of Pilate. And listen. And we find very clearly. Pilate answered in verse 12. Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will you then that I shall do unto you, whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to condemn the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now what will you have here? Here is a Barabbas standing before the governor Pilate, and are you listening? The governor Pilate could let him go, or send him to be crucified. When an individual is under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God brings us before the judgment bar of God, and I'll tell you right now, we stand there before the Lord, and we don't know whether He's going to save us or not. We stand there before Him at His discretion, because His salvation is a sovereign salvation. And the sad commentary of it today, that the vast majority of our so-called religious people don't know a thing about it. You ever been before the bar of justice of God? I have. And I'll tell you right now, I stood there one day without hope, without faith, and without anything else. I stood there hopeless and helpless and hapless before the Lord God of heaven. And I didn't know if He was going to save me or not. But to my utter amazement, He has. And are you listening? I never got over. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Then now let's look again. We find also there's the last thing. Not only was Barabbas brought to the bar of justice, and the individual is who? And we find very clearly, all right, then what takes place? Again, verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, we released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. What do we have here? We have the revelation of Christ in redemption. Pilate saw what would happen. He released Barabbas unto the people. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ away to be crucified. And we find, what in the world are you talking about? All right. Here we find, Barabbas saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ by the eye of faith take his place. And are you listening? Barabbas knew, and he knew that he knew it, that Jesus Christ took his place on the cross of Calvary. And are you listening? I don't think he ever got over it because of what happened to him. Now listen carefully. Barabbas is a physical picture of a spiritual truth. When God brings us before the bar of justice, we stand there, hopeless, helpless, and hapless. We stand there with our mouth shut. We stand there totally and completely at the disposal of the Lord God of heaven. He could save us. We're already condemned. All He's got to do is let us go. But He doesn't do that. Instead, this is what happens. As we stand there before the judgment bar of God, suddenly, positively, instantaneously, and marvelously, and eternally, our eyes are opened, and we are made to see that the Lord Jesus Christ has become our personal substitute. There's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to our soul and our being as our absolute, personal, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. I want to say something about this. Revelation means making clear things which have been hidden before. And we find there's no salvation apart from Revelation, because we find Barabbas, he was set free by Pilate, and Pilate there is a picture of God the Father, and we find the Lord Jesus Christ became his substitute because he took his place, and we find there's no salvation apart from Revelation, and we find Pilate is a classic example of it, and we find very clearly, if you're saved here tonight, you can go back to the time, somewhere in your experience back there, you can go back to the time when God brought you under conviction, and God showed you who you were, and what you were, and the judgment you're under, and I'll tell you right now, one moment you couldn't believe, the next moment you couldn't help but believe. And are you listening? Barabbas saw that physically. We see it spiritually. And the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see very clearly. Number one, it's a personal revelation. Secondly, we find also, it's a precious revelation. Thirdly, we see also, it's a gracious revelation. And how important is it? Well, I'll show you. Take your Bibles again. Turn to Luke chapter 10 for just a moment. And in Luke chapter 10, we find very clearly the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. They had just come back from a great missionary journey, and we find they had cast out demons and everything else. And we find very clearly in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And this is how it comes about. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit, this is Luke chapter 10, Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And then in verse 23, and he said, he turned unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And beloved, that's a clear-cut example of the revelation of Christ to the human heart. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about? We find also, listen carefully, the component parts of revelation are these. It's personal, it's precious, and it's gracious. And so we find also the results of it. What are the results of the revelation of Christ and the visitation of God to the sinner? All right, go back again. Matthew chapter 15. And we find Barabbas is a classic example of it. Now what are you talking about? When God saves a person, listen to me carefully, there's a change of position of the individual forever. One moment, we're a child of the devil. The next moment, we are a child of God the Father. And we find there's a change of position forever. And we see it set forth by Barabbas. The word Barabbas means son of the Father. And when Christ saves us, I tell you, when we've been born again, we become the sons of the living God. And we become the living sons of God before him. And we find not only that, there's not only a change, he becomes a son, but we find also this takes place with regard to the individual. There's no more condemnation. What are you talking about, preacher? Verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them. Hold your seat now. One moment, Barabbas was standing there before Pilate, condemned, sentenced, being waiting to be carried away and put to death. But what happened? The next moment, he heard these words. He heard Pilate say to the Roman soldiers, release him. And what happened? The first thing they did, they released him from the shackles of the chains that he was under. Secondly, we find very clearly, what are you talking about? He was therefore no more under the condemnation of the Roman government. And it's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ does to the sinner. One moment we're condemned, the next moment there's a change of position with regard to us, and we find very clearly what takes place is this. We see there's no more condemnation. Barabbas was released. Alright? You and I are released. We're released from the condemnation that we were under. We're released from the penalty of the law. We also are released from the penalty of sin. And we find at the same time God gives us the ability, begins to give us the ability to do what? To be free from the power of sin. Because this is what happens. We not only, there's no more condemnation, and we find the individual, when that individual is saved, we are justified and adopted by the Lord God of heaven. And then, here's the practical results that are given to the believer. Here's the thing that you notice right away, when God saves you. Number one, conviction is gone. It's gone. One moment you're under deep conviction. The next moment it's gone. It disappears. The second thing is this. Your conscience is quieted. Are you listening? Your conscience is quieted. Thirdly, there comes the peace of God with you because of peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we find also the Holy Spirit is our witness. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. And then we find also, and the next thing that comes with it, is there comes a desire for spiritual things. Now this is seen, not only here, with regard physically, but with regard to a baby. I'll tell you right now, a newborn baby, you don't have to teach that baby how to suckle its mother's breast. Immediately, they do that. You don't have to teach a newborn believer To do what? To make much of the Word of God. Because they begin to read it, and I'll tell you right now, the Word of God is fastened upon them, and they can't get enough of it. And what does it say? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian here tonight? Are you going to finish, do you read your Bible through from cover to cover at least once a year? If you don't, why don't you? This is God's Word. This is where we get our food. And we find very clearly, problem with the religion of today, they don't know anything about God. And the reason, they never read the Word of God. And it's the Word of God through which we learn these things. And I'll tell you right now, God's Word is inspired, infallible, and it's... Now why do I tell you this? Because, are you listening? Salvation is a reality to the individual. You may not know the day, the hour, the minute, or the second, when God saved you. You may not know that, but you will know this. You'll be able to go back to the time you stood before God, under conviction. And then when you stood before Him, the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to your heart. And if God just does it with you like He did with me, I'll tell you right now, He'll give you a verse of Scripture that means a great deal to you, and mine is found in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 38, and verse 17, and it says these words, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast, in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back." Hezekiah was given that. God's given that to me. Has He given it to you? Oh, I hope and pray that He has. Because as I've said before, the greatest thing can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ stop by your heart's door and save you. But now listen. The results of salvation is this. It's not only a reality of the individual, but we find also the proof of redemption is seen in the life of the individual. Let me ask you this question. Are you a better Christian this year than you were last year, or are you just still doing the same thing? Always remember one thing. If there's no progress in your Christian life, there's always a going backward. And if you keep going backwards and not making any progress, it is highly unlikely that the individual has ever truly been converted. Because God doesn't put up with deformed children. Keep that in mind. He doesn't bring a deformed child into His kingdom. When we are born again by the Spirit of God, I'll tell you right now, it's a perfect birth. Perfect birth. Absolutely from top to bottom. And we find the result is this, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. All things pass away. And behold, all things become new. And if there's been no change in your life since you supposedly got converted, throw that old profession aside. And I'll tell you right now, begin to take your place as a sinner and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner. Oh, what a story. Listen to this if you will. Before salvation in a far and distant land, two rusty nails pierced two precious and there a man named Jesus, for silver and gold, for silver was sold. On an old rugged cross, love's story was told. Oh, what a story. I love you,
was written in blood. Rivers of mercy were flowing between two thieves. What's the song? The ransom was paid for every man's soul. On an old rugged, then we find the ransom was paid for every man's soul. On an old rugged cross, the greatest love story was told. He hung on the cross in the darkness so grim, paying the penalty of our guilt and our sin. The Father turned his back upon his sinful son. Yet Satan was defeated, the victory was won. He cried, "It is finished," and the world heard the sound, marking the beginning as his blood touched the ground. A master plan for living on Mount Calvary and grave, such expression of love is salvation today. When we get to heaven, the Lord Jesus will see, just beholding our Savior, what a sight that will be. With the angels there watching, love's story will be told, how the blood from his scars made each one of us whole. Oh, what a story! What I love you was written in blood. Rivers of mercy were flowing from the matchless fountain of love. The ransom was paid for every man's soul. On an old rugged cross, the great love story was told. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, thank you again for this time together. Thank you for allowing us to gather here to worship thee. And we thank you again for the message that you've given us and showed us once again what a wonderful privilege it is to be a child of God. Oh, our Lord, we just ask you, is there any here tonight that don't know you? Open their hearts, move upon them as never before, and bring them down into the valley of conviction. Lord, make them know that they're in prison, the prison house of sin. They can't get out. There has to be a supernatural deliverance for them. And all we pray thee, will you not bring them before thy judgment bar, showing them their need of thee, and then reveal thyself unto them as their personal, absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior. All hear us today as you've entered to please thee. We ask you now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen.